Ziriye, Ziriye, you are. Zabruska dara barikede de bede de bede baraman. Lebruska dile dara barikede de bede de bede baraman. Zekede le dara barikede de bede bede mabrioske de bede man. Come on, may the angels enter into this place. May the Holy Ghost enter into this place. La Roshkete. Amen. You guys can have your seats. I want to be chilled this morning. In the evenings, we don't have service tonight, but New Year's Eve, then we open up the taps for revival in the prophetic. Amen. So, but we have to get the word in as well. And there are also new people here. So, but you know, the word, I was thinking this morning, the word is incredibly important. People lack the word. They go from evening service to evening service to evening service, power, 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 but they know no word. It is the word that brings success. It is the word that brings prosperity. It is the word that brings truth. It is the word that brings change into our lives. Amen. On your notes there, you'll see that you would have received notes, or it should be in your chair in front of you. It is called a Fear Not. Can everybody say with me, Fear Not? It is a Christmas message, so don't worry. And I'm not really good at this. I used to be a revival preacher and travel and never did Christmas services. So have grace on me, okay? Christmas, I spent time with my family. That was it. But now I'm a pastor, so now I must do Christmas services. But New Year's service is going to be off the wall. Okay, Luke chapter number 1, verse number 26, there on your notes. It says, in the 6 months of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Galilean village of Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to be married to a man descendant from David. His name was Joseph. And the virgin's name was Mary. Upon entering, Gabriel greeted her. The angel greeted her. He said, good morning. You're beautiful with God's beauty. Beautiful inside and out. God be with you. God has a surprise for you. You will become pregnant and give birth to a son and call his name Jesus. He will be great, be called Son of the Highest. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will rule Jacob's house forever, no end ever to his kingdom. Mary said to the angel, but how? I've never slept with a man. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Highest hover over you, will overshadow you, the other translation says. Therefore, the child you bring to birth will be called Holy, Son of God. Now listen, please just listen to me. This lady kept herself from birth. She was pure. She was sexually pure. She was spiritually pure. And she says, listen, I have an encounter with an angel. Now he's saying, I'm going to be made pregnant by God. This is heresy to the top. So where were we? So this was very difficult for this girl. This was heresy at its top. God is going to make you pregnant. And then she says, and did you know that your cousin Elizabeth conceived a son as old as she is? Question mark. Everyone called her barren, and here she is 6 months pregnant. Nothing you see, say with me, nothing you see is impossible with God. Even if there are people this morning that are saying, I'm barren and I cannot have children, I'm here to prophesy to you that nothing is impossible with God. We've had people on our team, at least about three, I think, right now, that has been completely barren. But when they come in touch with me, it's over. In touch with Jesus. But Jesus in me, okay? Otherwise, it didn't happen before. And they're pregnant. So nothing you see is impossible with God. And Mary said, yes, I see it all now. I am the Lord's maid. I am ready to serve. Let it be with me just as you say. Then the angel left her. Let me read you through the notes. It's a Christmas service. I don't want to preach really. There's a few points that I'm going to highlight. So just stay with me. It says fear has been a part of the human existence since the fall of man, back in Genesis 3 verse 8. Almost everyone, regardless of how brave they seem, is afraid of something. I am personally, me standing in front of you, is afraid of sharks. Some people are scared of snakes, spiders, geckos, disease, financial setbacks, failure, old age, gray hair, rejection, disappointment, exposure, being forgotten. Throughout scripture, we read stories of men who were stalked by their fears. Let's look at a few people that were stalked by fears. Adam feared God because of his sin and disobedience. Are you guys with me? The first thing that will come in after sin, the first reaction that will come in after we sin is fear. What do I mean by sin? Watching a movie that is wrong? No. I'm not saying you can do that. But sin is simply stepping out of the presence of God. Missing the mark. There's a difference between sin, transgression, and iniquity. Are you guys with me? What we think is sin is actually transgression. But when we sin, it means we miss what God has for us. And we step outside of that location. Remember Adam and Eve, the Bible says that they were walking, the voice of the Lord was walking with them in the garden. Was walking with them, the voice of God. How can a voice walk with them? But the voice was walking with them. Then they sinned. Then God called out and said, Adam, where art thou? Why was God calling that out? Because they were no longer walking together. Adam was departed. And Adam said these words, I heard your voice in the garden. And I was afraid and I hid myself. Are you guys with me? When sin comes in, fear sets in. I see when people backslide, they move to the back of the building. Amen. Judgment starts at the back, so you better be careful. I'm joking. But they move to the back because the fire is here in front. Point number two, Abram lied about Sarah out of fear. He prostituted his wife. Jacob displayed fear of Esau. He ran away from his own brother. Moses feared Pharaoh. Moses feared rejection. Job feared losing his family. Israel feared, afraid of his glory. It's the fire of God on the mountain, the glory of God. The disciples feared the storm. Listen here, but please take note, every single person that feared something, they were used by God. Are you guys with me? Every person that was mentioning here that had a fear was used by God. You can go on reading there. The great Scottish preacher John McNeill told that during his childhood, he had to walk a long distance from home every evening, and his route led through a forest with a large ravine. Reports said that wild animals, gangs of robbers were often seen in that area. Great fear would seize his heart, and he made his way past the spooky, looky trees. He recalled, one night it was especially dark, but I was aware that something or someone was moving slowly and quietly toward me. I was sure it was a robber. When a voice called out, its eerie tone struck my heart with fear. I thought I was finished. Then came a second call. This time I could hear the voice saying, John, is that you? It was my father. He had known my fear and had come out to meet me. It was a word from John McNeill's father that brought peace to his fearful heart that night. What we fearful humans need is a word from our Father, a word from Him who is able to expel our fears and eliminate our worries. We have such a word before us this morning. Say with me, this Bible. I know some of you might have it. You can say this cell phone. Okay, say this Bible. This word is a testament. I remember when I just got saved, I was so full of fear. I was fear of my family. I was fear of my friends. I was fear of many things. I was fear of the devil. I was fear of demons. But what I would do is I would fast and I would pray. I would pray so many nights. I would be in my room and I would just read this word over and over and over and over until these verses become ingrained into me. Until these verses became a part of me. So that when fear wants to hit, the Bible speaks up on the inside of me. I was 18, 19 years old, on fire for Jesus Christ. But the fear of life would still continually hit me. Even 5 years after that, I had a fear of failure. Fear of failure, fear of rejection. But the more I got into this word, the more He became into me. Listen, the Bible says that in the beginning was the Word, And the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And it was His Son who was sent. Come on, are you guys with me? The Word is Jesus Christ. That when I get this Word inside of me, I have Jesus walking and living and breathing and moving and having His being on the inside of me. If this Word is in me, if I've studied it, memorized it, if I have gone through it and I've gotten it in my spirit. Listen, if you take a bar of toothpaste and you squeeze it, toothpaste comes out. Whenever somebody is squeezed, whatever is inside of them will come out. If I have the Word and the anointing on the inside of me, if every day I'm in the Word, I'm spending time in the anointing, I'm spending time in the presence of God, and I am being squeezed, it is the Word that will come out. It is the anointing that will come out. Other people, you squeeze them, it is offenses that comes out. It is disloyalty that comes out. It is betrayal that it comes out. It is anger, screaming, swearing, cussing, everything except the Word. If I want to find out what is in somebody, I just squeeze them. Just a little bit. And then I can see what is in their hearts. Amen. Anyway, we're going off the topic. Are you guys with me? Such a word this morning. The Word can bring cause fear to go. Three times God sent angelic messengers in the earth with messages connected to the birth of His Son, the Lord Jesus. Each time they brought big news. News that troubled the hearts of those who heard it. However, they also came with a message of peace. The three times that the angels appeared, they needed to assure those who heard all the messages. Listen, three times that the angels appeared in relation to Christ's birth, they had to say, fear not. Are you guys with me? Because number one, the message sound heretical. Number two, they come to Mary and say, you're going to be given birth. The Holy Spirit is going to make you pregnant. If any person comes into this church and say, the Holy Spirit has made me pregnant, you all will excommunicate them. Come on, are you guys with me? The Holy Spirit is going to make you pregnant. The power of the highest is going to overshadow you. And you're going to give birth to a son and you shall call His name Jesus. Emmanuel. God is with us. Come on, are you guys with me? That's why they had to say, fear not. When you see an angel, you will fear. I said it earlier. When you see an angel, you will fear. Many people are rushing around at this time of year, stalking by. I wrote here. They and caught in the grip of fears. At the time, they should be joyous, happiest, and totally Christ-centered. Many fear not having money. I'm not going to go through all the notes. Many fear not being able to get Christmas gifts. Many fear family game coming over. God forbid the in-laws coming over. Many fear family fights. Many fear drunk people getting drunk and getting out of control. Listen here. When we have our perspective right, there's one thing that matters. It's Christ and Him crucified. That it is His birthday today. And celebrating Him. All of us give gifts to one another. Listen, let me just explain a little bit about Santa Claus. Santa Claus and the Christmas date. And you, being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh, has quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Blotting out, can anybody say with me, blotting out the handwriting, say it again, say handwriting of ordinances that was against us. This means wiping away completely clean the handwriting of requirements that is held against us. Any requirement to be good or holy is wiped away. That was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. And having spoiled principality and powers, He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man, say with me, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day. In another translation, it says a Sabbath or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days. These are which are a shadow of things to come. But, say with me, but the body is of Christ. The purpose is Christ. Not whether what I'm doing is right or wrong and keeping a certain date. Those things has been abolished. Come on, are you guys with me? You get Gregorian calendars. You get the Roman calendar. You get many different Jewish calendar. You get the Hebraic calendar. You get many different calendars that mixed up the dates. In fact, I believe it was the Roman calendar that was completely wrong and it had an extra 15 days on or something like that. That was not, that couldn't fit in. And only once they changed it to the Gregorian calendar did things begin to get into place. So if you study Christmas, let me just explain to you a little bit. Some say it is in October. Some say it is in December. Some say that Christ was conceived around the March 25th, the 25th of March. 9 months from there is December 25th. But then you get what you call, you get the calendars that is mixed up. There was a Roman calendar, so it actually fell on the 6th and the 7th. That's why in the UK, they'll still celebrate Old Christmas Day on the 6th or the 7th of January, because it was an old calendar. But when we shifted to the Gregorian calendar, those days has been rectified and it falls under the 25th of December. Are you guys with me? Then there's another school of belief that says it's around October, which I'm also not against, because it is the Feast of Tabernacles. It is Rosh Hashanah, which they believe happened at the birth of Christ. But there are many schools of thought. The thing is that the only thing that is important is that we are celebrating His birth. I don't know if you guys are understanding me. Santa Claus, where does Santa Claus come from? Santa Claus was simply a guy who wasn't really called Santa Claus. He was called, I believe, Nicholas Claus or something like that. And he was a priest. He was raised up in a Roman Catholic way of lifestyle. He was becoming a priest. But he became so important because he had a lot of charity. And he gave a lot of gifts away that they canonized his name. To canonize someone's name means to make him Saint Patrick, Saint James. So they made him Saint Claus. Are you guys with me? Where we get the word Santa Claus from. And then the Roman Catholic institution said, okay, let's make him the one who will give gifts to children, and that children will look up to him for gifts. It was a subtle way of the enemy to remove the element and the truth of Christ. But Santa Claus has rose and he has died, and that is it. But there's one who has rose and that has died and that has rose again, and he's still alive. And his name is Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that every good and perfect gift comes from him that is above. Come on, are you guys with me? So if your child believes in Santa Claus, you can do whatever you want. I choose to say, listen here, it's all good. We believe Christmas. Give, dear God, give them gifts. Don't traumatize them. But make them aware that it is Christ that gave me that gift to give to you. It is Christ that is providing for us as a family to give you these gifts. Are you guys with me? And then they'll go to school and mess up the other kids. So, make it clear, seriously. So listen, let's get to the notes. I'll be finished just now. I'm going to go quickly through this. Let's look at point number one there, the calmness of Mary's life. We see before the angel came to her, Mary was very calm. The Bible says in Luke 1 verse 26, it says, in the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Galilean village of Nazareth to a virgin engaged to be married to a man descended. Now you must understand, in this culture, if you are engaged to be married, you are engaged for 1 year. It is already considered as marriage in that culture. But it is to test the woman to see that she didn't sleep around. To see that after a year that there's no bump coming. Are you guys with me? That was the purpose of engagement. To see that, okay, this woman is pure. Here God comes and intervenes and mess up that whole thing. He could have just done it the normal way. You understand what I'm saying? Let them first have children. And then, you know, but he comes in during the time of engagement where purity has to be proven. God comes in and he says, listen, I will have no man telling me what to do. I will make this virgin pregnant. And she will, and this woman had a calm life before, that nothing was wrong. The Bible says she was pure in sexual, she had sexual purity. She had spiritual purity. In fact, when the angel came and greeted her, he said, you are highly favored of God. This woman was close to God. Come on, are you guys with me? She had a good life. She was about to marry John, who was, I believe, a carpenter. She was about to marry him. And she said that she would have had a great life. It was about 14, 15 years old where she was at that point of time. And everything was looking rosy. It was the day that she was dreaming of her whole life. As every woman, even today, dreams of that marriage. Here she's dreaming of the day she's going to marry Joseph. Here an angel comes and says, listen, your God is going to make you pregnant now in this time where you have to prove your purity. It ain't fair. Before we get into point number two, the paragraph before that, let me just read this. But everything she has ever understood hoped for and stood for is about to be shaken upside down. Sometimes our worlds need to be shaken to test us. I'm going to say it again. Sometimes our worlds needs to be shaken to test us, to challenge us, and to provoke us to get a little closer to God's will for our lives. When you are falsely accused, it is a sign that Christ is being birthed inside of you. When you are misunderstood, it is only a sign that Christ is beginning to do a work on the inside of you. Come on, guys, with me. When you are rejected, listen here, Mary was falsely accused. She was misunderstood. She was rejected. It only means that she was carrying Christ, one that will be a savior and a deliverer to the world outside there. But those who accused her didn't know she looked like a mess on the outside. She looked like somebody that is about to go cheat. Even Joseph had to hide her away. But what had to go through Joseph's head? He was thinking, my wife cheated on me. That's why God had to come to an angel to him as well. Come on, guys, with me. Point number two. The challenge to Mary's life. I want to explain this to you quickly. Luke chapter number 1 verse 28, it says, and having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one. Say with me, highly favored. We think this is very positive. It is very negative. Are you guys with me? The word favored is what we call grace. It's just a different word. It's used interchangeably in the scripture. The word grace or favored means this. It means unmerited favor. Somebody who is undeserved of it, but they're still getting it. Are you guys with me? Can we do a play word of English or a play on English words? Undeserved favor. Here is Mary. She has undeserved favor. She's undeserving of every favor. Now the angel has the audacity to come to her and say, you are highly favored. Which means that you are highly undeserving of the favor that you are getting right now. That means every sin that you've committed, it causes you to be highly unmerited, unfavored, favored, undeserving, highly undeserved of that favor. Why did the angel choose her? Because she was highly undeserving of it. If there's anybody in this place that is saying, I am highly undeserved of the favor and the grace that I have, you are ready to be used by God. But those who are saying, I deserve this, this is for me, I deserve better, you're gonna get nowhere. Come on, guys, with me. Look at the next words. Because you are highly undeserved, Mary, the Lord is with you. Say it with me. Say, the Lord is with me. Say it again. Say, the Lord is with me. When we're constantly in a state of I'm undeserving of this favor. My God, I was a drug addict. I was getting drunk. I was a mess. I was a mess in my heart. I was a mess in my spirit. I spoke to demons. I hated God at some points in my life. I would remember nights that I would be in my room. I would curse God and I would call upon the name of Satan. That even 5-6 years later after my salvation, I would go into one of my old friend's rooms and he was unsaved, and he would give me a handkerchief of blood written by me saying that I'm giving my soul to Satan. That it took me a year or two to break the power of that contract. That I was so drunk and so out of it, I hated God and I wanted Satan. I was undeserving of his presence. I was undeserving of his grace. I was undeserving of his favor. I was highly unfavored. Mary is saying, listen here, God is saying, Mary, the angel is saying, highly, and we think, oh, highly unfavored one. No. He was saying, you were such a mess of a mess of a mess of a mess. That's why the favor of God is upon your life. If you want to be qualified to be used by God, recognize your mess, and the favor and the grace of God will come upon you. There's no law, no religion that can save anybody. It is the grace of God. Are you guys with me? In this church, we have ex-drug addicts. On my team, I can tell you this one, that used drugs, that slept around, that did this, that stole, that did that. Highly unfavored. But when they encountered the grace of God, it changed everything about them. How much more on Christmas Day? Listen here. On our birthday, we receive gifts. On Jesus' birthday, He give gifts to men. May today gifts be given to you in this place. I don't care if it is spiritual gifts. I don't care if it is natural gifts. I don't care what gift it is. May gifts be given to you on this day. For He is a God who gives gifts to men. Say with me, highly unfavored. He says, blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner he was greeting this. Well, you see, the manner he was, he actually said she was unfavored, but the way, the manner he greeted her in was as if she is of a high class. And that messed her up because she said, I don't deserve this. You see, in those days, they greeted people in a certain manner. Are you guys with me? If you are of a certain sort, they wouldn't even greet you. If you're of a high status, they'd greet you. This angel greeted her in a certain status, in a manner that caused her to know, hey, wait, I'm not in this class. Why is this angel greeting me in this way? A man might greet you in one way, but heaven can greet you in a different way. Because heaven sees what you're doing behind closed doors. Heaven sees the act that you've done that is loving towards somebody else, or sacrificed a seed, or did this or did that. A man might greet you one way, but heaven will greet you in another way. Come on, are you guys with me? Listen, suddenly without any warning, an angel burst into Mary's dream. A world of romantic bliss and threatened all her dreams. In fact, demolished them. She found herself being asked to mother a child out of wedlock, which was frightful stigma for a young girl to carry through. At best, this would ruin her chances of marriage to Joseph. And at worst, it would be a death sentence by stoning. When Gabriel, so the call of God is not so radical after all, is not so great after all. You see, go for me to the next point there, point number three. The consecration of Mary's life. We have to see, first of all, we had the calmness of Mary's life. She was calm. Then we see a challenge came in the midst of a calmness. A challenge came in. But then what endured that challenge was the fact that Mary was consecrated. Look at point number three, the consecration of Mary's life. Luke 1 verse 38, Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. I'm going to say it again. This woman said, let it be to me according to your word. Say with me, according to your word. And then the angel departed. This brief passage records one of the most astounding displays of confidence in God, absolute devotion to Him, and sheer bravery in the entire Bible. Despite the shame that was sure to come away, despite the humiliation she would bear, Mary was willing to submit her life to the will of God. In doing so, she sets an example of obedience and surrender that every child of God needs to take heart. Never be afraid of God's divine directives for your life. Regardless of what may come on our way, we can be rest assured that God is going to use it to get glory to Himself and to help us learn more about Him. I remember when I was called by God, I was living with my family, and the first word that God gave me says, Leon, and like Abram, take everything from you, leave your family and your house, and go to a land that I will tell you. And it was not nice. I was rejected. People didn't believe me. Da 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 da. Nothing would. It was a tough call. If I have never done that, I would never be where I am right now. Are you guys with me? God said to Moses, Moses, go to a mountain where I will tell you. Go to Moriah. The mountain wasn't called Moriah. The mountain was in a place called Moriah. Go to Moriah and go to a mountain that I will yet still show you. Moses had to be obedient before the instruction fully was given, before the details of the instruction was given. But as he goes, sensitivity would cause him to find out. Are you guys with me? So I wrote you, in order to do His will for His love, for her life, Mary needed the courage of obedience. Obedience respects the moment of demand. I'm going to say it again. Obedience respects the moment of command. I can say to somebody, I need this right now. In like 3-4 days, they might maybe give it to me. I might say to somebody, I want to see you right now. Maybe 4 days later, they'll phone me. Obedience respects the moment of command. If it doesn't, it's delayed obedience, which is disobedience. Amen. So Matthew 19 verse 26, it says, But Jesus looked at them and said to them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Say with me, all things are possible. Go for me there to the next paragraph, not the bold one, the one there after. It says, an old man was asked what had robbed him of the joy the most in his lifetime. He replied, things that never happened. All of us can recall needless burdens that we have put on our shoulders by anticipating the worst. Certainly the Lord has not, laid such burdens on us. Listen here, fear is simply preparing for something that has not yet happened and will most probably not happen. When people are on fear and anxiety, they worry about something that has not yet happened. Worry about something that has happened. Don't worry about something that has not yet happened. That is the epitome of stupidity. Are you guys with me? I can sit and worry, how am I going to pay? It hasn't happened yet. How am I going to do this? How am I going to do that? It hasn't happened yet. And I sit and I fear. And the Bible says, does it even add any cubit? And does it add any length to your life? In fact, it takes away from your life. Stress. Are you guys with me? They say that the average minister, the average pastor, me standing in front of you, the average lifespan of a pastor is 58 years. They die of a heart attack at the age of 58 because of the stress of the people. You have your family to worry about. I have all of you to worry about. Plus the home cells, plus the people that come in the evenings, plus we have a massive influence out there that I have to worry about. Imagine if I have to be concerned and worried about any individual. Imagine if I have to be concerned about the 15 that complained this week because I didn't do something or I did something or I didn't greet them in a special, you know, hello Zane. May the Lord bless you, brother. I will have no identity. But if I just walk past him, yes, how's it? You know, and I walk on. Okay, new Christians don't need that, but you get certain pastors, I mean, they have to smile at everybody, hug everybody. I'm not that. I am not a pastor, okay? I am not that. There will be pastors here, they'll be raised, they'll hug you every day. Who is that? Who is like that? Martin, I don't know. Who is like that? Somebody that'll hug somebody every day, huh? Chris, Stefan. You know, they'll hug people every day. And then many of you will be raised up in that. Me, I can't. I'll be like, hello, how are you doing? Good. You need counseling? That one there. Bye-bye. Okay? But what I will give you is the word, power, fasting, preaching, prophecy. And I'll make sure that is in place. A pastor hugs. A pastor is a mother. They hug. An apostle is a father. They give hidings. There are people that take offense. I don't even bother myself with it. I've done it for the last 4 years and my wife and I were almost killed. I went to hospital 3 times a year because of anxiety and stress. I will not do that. I will do what the Bible tells me, to give myself to the word and prayer and fasting fully. Acts chapter number 6 and verse number 7. And Acts number 6 and 7. I'll give myself to that fully so that the people can be nourished. And then there'll be people set up that will look after your care, the cell leaders and etc. And they're not fully trained full-time ministers, but they bring the necessary cases to me. Are you guys with me? And then sometimes I decide if I want to deal with it or not, because for somebody's emergency is somebody else's just a small little headache. And the next day it blows over. And then when people start getting closer and closer in the church, they understand, wow, I can't believe I complained about something so small. I can't believe. And there's more security. There's more. Listen to me. There is grace in this church. I don't care who leaves, who goes, who stays, who goes. There's grace in this church. What I mean by grace, a grace measure, a covering. We've been to churches. The people leave and go and leave and go and leave and go. There's some few that came and checked us out, but there's a grace that'll protect you and a grace that'll cover me. This is not a work of man, this is a work of God. An angel came to spoke to me upon the church. You have nepios, which is a baby in a nappy. That's where you get the word nappy from. Everybody say with me, nepios. Then you have like brebos after that. Then you have technon. Then you go up and up and up. It's different Greek levels of maturity. Some are at nepios levels, nothing wrong with it. Like our daughter, all they do right now is just cry. All she does is cry. That is it. You know, she doesn't get away, she cries. She's nepios. She carries a nappy. It's the same with a believer. But it's my duty to bring them up. They take offense. They do this. They hate me the first second. In the second sphere, they're after them, they love me. If I was an immature pastor, I'll take that personally. Amen? until we come to Heos. When we go Heos, it's a mature son. After Heos, we go to Nianiskos, which is a warrior son. Then you become a warrior. Then you go out there and do exploits of the ministry. People want to do exploits of the ministry while they are Nepios. And they're taking offense everywhere. No, no, no. Stay and serve somewhere until you become Heos and then Nianiskos. And you go out there and you conquer battles. You take cities or regions or businesses or workplace. You become a Nianiskos son, a warrior son. After you become a warrior son, you become Patos, which is Pater, which is a father. Come on, are you guys with me? And then you give birth. So listen, that's how it works. So let me close off with this piece on your last, where was I? Oh, on the second last page, there at the bottom, it says, someone has cited these three keys to happiness. They say, fear, fret not, he loves you. Faint not, he holds you. Fear not, he keeps you. I'm going to say it again, fret not, he loves you. Faint, do not faint, he holds you up. Fear not, he keeps you. Are you guys with me? Next page there, it says, is there fear in your heart today? Bring it to him today. Bring it to Jesus Christ. Is there sadness? Bring it to him. Is there fear over sin and hell? And listen, we asked last week if there's anybody that battles with food, and we gave out food vouchers and to those, and we gave out quite a large one to people. So I am sure that everybody will have a great Christmas today. Amen. And I'll give you my bank account details for any Christmas gift that you want. I'm joking. Bring it to Jesus. Is there fear over sin and hell? Bring it to Jesus. Is there disappointment and disillusion? I'm still going to minister on eternal security so that you all can be safe. What do I mean by that? Once saved, always saved? Absolutely not. You can lose your salvation through apostasy. But there's an eternal security that gets signed when we are saved. The Bible says that the Holy Ghost seals us unto salvation. Amen? Okay. So, their disappointment, disillusionment over the trials of life, bring it to Jesus. His word is peace. Fear not. I just thought of putting the scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 3. It says, all praise to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the source of every mercy and God who comforts us. He comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others. When others are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. You can be sure that the more we suffer for Christ, the more God will shower us with His comfort through Christ. So when we are weighed down with troubles, it is for your benefit and salvation. For when God comforts us, it is so that we in turn can be an encouragement to you. Then you can be patiently endure the same things we suffer. Can everybody say with me, peace? When we receive His word, peace comes. When we want peace, we must get the Prince of Peace. Come on, are you guys with me? I am convinced anybody that doesn't have peace, God is not into that situation. If I don't have peace in my finances, it's because God is not in that situation. If I don't have peace in that area of my life, it's because I have not given it over and surrendered it to God completely. Some people are fearing about their finances all the time, but they never tithe. They have never tithe. They got, I don't know how much. They're young, they don't get a lot of money, but they get a little bit of a portion, and then this thing breaks, and then this thing breaks down, and then this thing breaks down, and then they're fearing. And I ask them, have you ever given to God? That's all they do, they just gulp. And I'm like, there's not peace in your finances because you haven't made God Lord of it in that area. Can you just raise your hands to the Lord? Just raise your hands to the Lord as we dedicate this service to Him. And today to Him. We're going to see you New Year's Eve. Next year is going to be a crazy year. We're going to raise leaders up, ministers up. We're going to raise people up. There are many things that are taking place next year. Like I said, by the first 2 months, you'll see power like you've not seen. I'm now like 0.5% operating here. You will, because it's a Christmas service. You will see power like you've not seen power. You'll see prophecy like you've not seen prophecy. And you'll have breakthrough. Not only will you see it, you will do it. Not only will you see it, you will partake in it. And you will move in it. We're a church that is there to equip, raise up, and train up people. And it is starting January. Father, I pray for every single person. I pray for the blessing of Christmas. The blessing of Christ Mass. The birth of your Son. the birth, death, and resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ. That blessing to be upon their lives in every area in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray that even right now, that as they go home, as they go be with their families, that your presence will abide upon them, that the anointing will abide upon them, that from today to New Year's Eve, that you will keep them, that you will hold them, that you will guard them in your hand, and that you'll bring them back as we cross over into 2017 in the mighty name of Jesus the Christ. Can we give him a praise offering, church? Thank you very much. Zabroske de Maria.